Alrighty, if you would, take your Bibles and let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1. Today's Sunday, May the 26th, Memorial Day weekend. We're going to begin this morning in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 says, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. How good and gracious our God is. Exceeding great and precious promises, all things pertaining to life and godliness through the knowledge of him. And then grace and peace multiplied to us in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Who wouldn't want more grace and peace? Grace meaning divine favor from God. Peace, the absence of strife and turmoil. Who wouldn't want more of that? And God said he would multiply to it. Very few people realize that God Almighty communicates to people through his word. And this morning we're going to consider God's goodness, because far too many people think the Bible is just a book of do's and don'ts, a book of rules and regulations. Don't do this. You can't do that. Everything is sin. But as I said, few realize that God's word, the Bible, is God Almighty communicating to human beings, the Creator communicating to his creation. And secondly, the Creator's communication is for our benefit, for our benefit. You know, like a parent tells a child, don't touch the stove. Why? To give the child more rules? And no, so he doesn't get burned. I got to spend a little bit of time with Mike and JC and the kids, and Mike was barbecuing and had the grill going. And, you know, Betsy walked over there and he told her like three times, don't touch that. First he said, don't touch that. She was like, why? Because it's hot. Oh, don't touch that. It'll burn your fingers. I mean, we teach our kids all these things for their benefit. And just as a sidebar, there are a number of topics in God's word where there are different types of verses. There's basic verses, there's warning verses, and there's also verses of promise. For example, when it comes to prosperity, money, finances, you know, you'll hear some Christians say that money's evil. That's what the Bible says. Money's evil. And then other Christians talk about God's great prosperity and how there's great abundance available. And then they quote their verses. But on that topic, God gives us numerous verses about how to handle money and finances, how to stewardess. God, in his word, shows us the laws of prosperity. God also gives us warnings in the scriptures concerning finances. That verse that people sometimes misquote when they say money's the root of all evil. No, the love of money is the root of all evil. It's in Luke 18 and 19, there's two records, and sometimes people like to quote the record where Jesus Christ told the rich young man, you need to sell everything and come follow me. See, you're supposed to be poor if you want to be holy. And if you really look at the context of that particular record, that young man was trusting in his riches, trusting in his prosperity. That's where his trust was. He was a little arrogant, too. I mean, he went, good master, what must I do to enter? Why are you calling me good? There's only one. It's God. Keep the commandments. Oh, I've done all of those. Oh, you've done it all. Okay, cool. Sell everything, come follow me. And that was the loving thing that Jesus Christ said, and he walked away being very sad. And his trust was in riches. And I can't remember if it's the chapter right before or the chapter right after. You got Zacchaeus, who was a very wealthy guy. And then he, you know, Jesus went to eat with him, and, you know, he told Jesus Christ, I give away half. And if I've wronged anybody, I restore them four times. Why didn't Jesus say, well, that's nice, but you need to sell everything, come follow me? So sometimes people, you know, get off the deep end there. God also gives us promises concerning that topic. God's able to make all grace abound towards you. My God shall supply all your needs. So why does God give us all that knowledge and information? So we won't be poor and destitute. God doesn't want us going around poor and destitute. But if we're ignorant of his word, or ignore it, or choose to not believe it, you can end up poor and destitute. But that's not God's fault. You know, if a child's been told about the stove, not to touch it, and then they think they're smarter than mom or dad, and they go, they get burned. But that's not, it's not God's fault. So the Bible is not a book of do's and don'ts. It's the word of life. It is God speaking to people for our benefit, so that our lives will be blessed. And throughout the pages of the Bible, God reveals his goodness over and over. And this morning, we're going to consider our good God. We're going to look a little bit at the goodness of God. So actually, we could just read these three verses like 10 times and say amen, and that's it. But grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Look at Isaiah 55, back towards the middle of the Bible, right before Jeremiah. Isaiah 55. Everybody there? Isaiah 55, verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. And then God says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and returns not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorns shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. God is so good. God wants his people to be blessed. He wants us to be blessed. And he's a whole lot smarter than we are, you think? My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. As the heavens are high, that's how high my thoughts are. I mean, aren't we smarter than our children? We're a whole lot smarter, because kids are born dumb. They don't know anything. They have to be taught. They have to be trained and educated for their benefit. Look at Jeremiah chapter 2, next book over. Isaiah, Jeremiah chapter 2. Sometimes in the Bible, God reproves behavior. And again, why? Because he wants our life blessed. And here's some reproof, probably familiar. Jeremiah 2:13. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. You know, we just read in Isaiah that, hey, come back to God. He'll give you mercy. He'll pardon you. And he will. And here, God's talking about his people have committed to, not pagans, not the heathens, my people have committed two evils. One, they have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. And instead of me, they've hewed out cisterns, and they're broken cisterns that can hold no water. What a comparison. And this again is to God's very own people, the people he chose to be their God. The descendants of Abraham, I'll be your God. I'll take care of you. Here's promises. I'll do everything for you. They went, no, we'd rather have a broken cistern than a fountain. What a comparison. A fountain versus a broken cistern. We're going to come back to the Old Testament in a minute, but go look at Romans chapter 1. A person doesn't have to forsake God. A person can look to God, but sometimes they don't. In Romans chapter 1, verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, in their thinking, in their reasoning, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And they changed the glory of God, they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Instead of God, they made their own gods. They made idols to worship. They forsook the fountain. They turn away from the one true God, who's a fountain, and instead they chose idols, and idols are nothing more than broken cisterns that can hold no water. They basically do just what the serpent said in Genesis 3. You'll be your own gods. You'll be God, knowing good and evil. You'll know what's right and wrong. You can decide what's right and what's wrong. Come up with your own rules. Doesn't that sound like our culture today? Yeah. You decide what's right. You decide what's wrong because you're your own God. But why turn away from God who is so good? Why turn away from the fountain who just wants to bless, to help, to heal, protect, and prosper? You don't need to go there, but in 1 Timothy 4, it says, some shall depart from the faith, from the right way of believing, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. The adversary is at work to get people to turn away from God and enjoy broken cisterns. It's sad. Meanwhile, God, in his word, shows us that he is a great God of goodness and grace and mercy and wants to bless us. So back to the Old Testament, look at Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. The Bible is so full of God communicating how good he is, how great he is, how powerful he is, how loving he is. The Bible declares who God is. These verses are probably familiar in Isaiah 40, verse 29. Isaiah 40:29. He gives power to the faint. Are you fainting? Do you need power? He gives power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. because God gives the strength, the increase. I think for a lot of you, these are familiar verses, right, that we just read? Let's back up and look at the context of this. Go back to verse 18. To whom, then, will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare unto him? What are you going to compare God to? And then he tells what they do. The workman melts a graven image, and the goldsmith spreads it over with gold and casts silver chains. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooses a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. And God goes, have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Kind of sounds like a parent, doesn't it? Didn't I tell you not to do this? Don't you remember what we talked about yesterday? Verse 21, have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sits upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing. He makes the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted, the idols. They're not going to like plant and grow and produce anything. Yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth. And he shall blow upon them, and they shall wither. Make your beautiful idol with whatever, gold, silver, whatever. God will go, just blow, knock it over. You want to put your trust in that? He shall also blow them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom then will you liken me? Or shall I be equal? Saith the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might. Talking about what you see in the heavens. Calls every one of them by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? That the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, faints not, neither is weary. There's no searching of his understanding. He gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. What a good God we worship. And God wants us blessed. Look at Psalm 9. Back up to Psalm 9. I mean, we could spend all day looking up scriptures. Psalm 9, verse 9. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in time of trouble. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. God will never forsake us. God will answer our prayers. God is there to help, to bless, and we put our trust in him. In Psalm 86, verse 5, for thou, Lord, art good. God is good. And ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. God is always ready to forgive. People aren't always ready to forgive. God is. He's always ready to forgive and He's plenteous in mercy, and mercy means the withholding of judgment. Grace is when God gives you something you don't earn or don't deserve and just here. Mercy is you do deserve punishment, and God goes, no, withholds it. That's mercy. He's plenteous in mercy. Our loving and good God is ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy. Psalm 103. We're just looking at verses that show the great goodness of our God. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Can't remember them all, but we should try to not forget them all. And verse 3 says, who forgives all thine iniquities. There's nothing you could do that God would not forgive. We already read he's ready to forgive. And that verse didn't say he's ready to forgive except he's just ready to forgive. Who forgives all thine iniquities, who heals all thy diseases, who redeems thy life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Forgiveness and mercy, who doesn't need that? We all do. He forgives all iniquities. He heals all our diseases. And then he satisfies our mouth with good things, because he's a good God, a loving God, a gracious God. How about Psalm 107? Reading these verses and many others like them gives us great confidence in God, seeing how loving, how kind, how good, how powerful, how delivering he is. It gives us confidence that we can trust him, because he's such a great, big, wonderful God. He's such a good God, and he loves us. Why would he not bless us? Where are we? Psalm 107, thanks. Verse 13. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. Ever done that? No. Many times we do. We cry unto the Lord in our trouble. And he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and break their bands in sunder. Oh, that men or women would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Oh, that we would praise God for his goodness. You know, instead of blaming God for all the bad that's going, oh, why is God letting this happen? Oh, why did God? How about just do what this said? Oh, that we would praise God for his wonderful goodness. Praise him and thank him for his goodness. Forget not all his benefits and say thank you. We're going to close in Psalm 34. Psalm 34. Verse 1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. We'll bless, praise at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. That verse is like saying the same thing twice in a different way. I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. That's how this Psalm 34 begins, because this is a great psalm of deliverance. But it begins by magnifying God, by exalting God, by how great God is. And then the deliverance comes. Verse 4, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. It's so great to read this and know that when we seek the Lord, he hears us. And there's other verses I'm sure that you know. His ears are always open unto our prayers. I sought the Lord and he heard me, and then he delivered me from all my fears. There is nothing that we should be afraid of. And when we do have fear, I sought the Lord. He heard me and delivered me from my fears. God, I am afraid of this. This is really disturbing me. I need your... I sought the Lord. He heard me and delivered me from all my fears, which is kind of different than the culture. Learn to live with your fears. Everyone has fears. Fear is normal. This is not what it says. God does not want us... God doesn't want his children living with fear. Because the Bible talks about how fear is a snare. The fear of man brings a snare. Fear is not a blessing. I sought the Lord, he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man or poor woman cried, and the Lord heard. He hears when we pray and saves him out of all his troubles. So all my fears, all my troubles. And if need be, verse 7, the angel of the Lord encamps round about them that reverence him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man or the woman that trusts in him. You want to be blessed? Trust God. What a great way to put it. Taste and see that the Lord is good. You ever had somebody have some food or something and you'll, oh, just have a taste. No, I don't want, just taste it. Okay. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Have some. Verse 9, O fear or reverence the Lord, ye his saints, for there's no want to them that reverence him. God does not want his children having lack. The young lions do lack. Boy, that's interesting that it says the young lions, because they're, you know, the most agile, powerful. They can move and get food. Well, sometimes the young lions do lack and suffer hunger. But they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me, or I'll teach you the reverence of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil, your lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayer. Should have just waited until we read it, but that's also comes up in the Epistle of Peter, as you know. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The reason the face of the Lord is against them that do evil is because they turned and walked away. But they could come back. We've read verses about that this morning, right? He can always come back. He's ready to forgive. He's ready to pardon. He just would like for us to leave the cisterns alone and come back to him, because he's a fountain. Let's enjoy the fountain. Verse 17, the righteous cry and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh or near unto them that are of a broken heart, and save such as be of a contrite spirit. The word broken means torn apart like a shipwreck. God is near. He does not leave us. Others might leave us, but he does not leave us, especially when our heart is torn apart. He's near to comfort and to encourage us when our heart has been shipwrecked. God's right there. And then the word contrite means broken or a crushed spirit. God brings us his help, his comfort, his encouragement, his deliverance when we're hurting emotionally. So verse 17 again. The righteous cry and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their trouble. The Lord is near unto them that have a shipwrecked heart, and save such as be of a broken or crushed spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Oh, what great promises from our good, good God. And, you know, we just looked at a small sampling of just how good our God is. We read just a few verses, seeing his gracious goodness. We began with the scripture in 2 Peter where God said, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." God's grace and his peace multiplied. And so this is why we make time to read the scriptures, study the scriptures, to gain an accurate knowledge of our wonderful God and of Jesus Christ. And in doing that, God has promised that he'll multiply, not add, multiply grace and peace to us. So much of the Bible is, you know, I said earlier, some people think the Bible's a bunch of rules and regulations and do's and don'ts. And so much of the Bible's not about you or me. So much of the Bible is about God and who he is. And in the pages, it's very easy and clear to see that God is a good, loving, powerful, and delivering God. And as my Kathy used to say many times, God is good always. So, Father, thank you for your wonderful goodness and how you are a good, kind, gracious God. And, Father, how we can absolutely put all of our trust in you and how we can continue to put your word, which is your thoughts, your words, into our heart and mind so that we can love you, thank you, and trust you. And that, Father, we would have some really good news to share with others about such a loving and good God. And thank you for all that your Son, Jesus Christ, accomplished for us, that we could be your children, and we anticipate your Son's return. And we thank you for all these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.